podcast service of Quaker Gap Baptist Church in King, North Carolina, where our mission is to glorify God by growing Christ-like people.
But have you ever stopped to thank God for fruit? Think for a second about how incredible fruit really is. Now, maybe when you were a child, they told you need to eat more fruit, you need to eat more fruit, and you thought, fruit's okay, but candy's better, right? When you're a kid, that's the way it is. But think for a moment about how incredible fruit really is. What is fruit, after all? It is a plant's reproductive system. That's what it is. It is the way that a plant reproduces itself and is capable of delivering seeds and reproducing the plant from which that fruit came. And there are so many different varieties of fruit, and this is what's amazing, that God didn't just create one fruit. Imagine that if there was one fruit, you walked into the produce section of Food Lion, and there it was, fruit. And you just grabbed a fruit, and you took it with you, and put it in a bag lunch, and that was it, just fruit. But God didn't do that. God said, okay, I'm going to give you all sorts of different sizes and shapes of fruit and flavors. And there's going to be apples and pears and peaches and bananas and pineapples and grapes and all sorts of different kinds of fruit, because our God is a God of variety and a God of beauty and a God of flavor. And so He gave us all of this wonderful variety of fruit. And is there anything as fragrant and delicious and beautiful as a ripe strawberry? Is there anything as good as that? And we're very close to that season here. The actual word fruit comes from a Latin word which means to enjoy, to enjoy. And certainly God created fruit for us to enjoy. It's not just about plants reproducing themselves, but somehow we got caught up in the cycle of the plant life to where we can grab that fruit and we can enjoy it for ourselves. Look up the word fruit in a dictionary and here's what you'll come up with. Definition of fruit is the ripened reproductive body of a seed plant. So next time you're eating fruit, just remember that. I'm eating the reproductive organ of a tree, okay, or of a plant. See, it doesn't sound all that great when you think of it that way. But also, the definition of fruit is any product of plant growth useful to humans or animals. So anything that comes off a plant that's useful to humans or animals, that means those pine needles down there in that trailer, according to that definition, could be considered fruit. Not that they reproduce, but that they're useful, because we use them for something or you wouldn't be buying them for $5 a bale, right? And you don't try to eat them, although I've probably had some breakfast cereals that taste similar to that. It might be good, try it with milk. One more definition of fruit that's found in the dictionary is anything produced or accruing, a product, a result, or an effect, a return or profit. That fruit is something that's produced. Fruit is something that results from something else. For example, the fruit of one's labors. From our labors, there should be some fruit. And we saw that in our pictures today from Cuba. The labors of the last 3 years or so of work in Cuba through the Baptist men of North Carolina and other groups that have come in, and the work that's been done there, there is fruit from that labor. There's a change, there's a transformation that's taken place. That's another definition of the word fruit. So God created fruit so that plants could reproduce. But much more than that, in Genesis chapter 1, verse 29, God said, I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth, and every tree that has fruit with seed in it, they will be yours for food. This was God's intent from the very beginning. Now, some fruits you look at and say, I wonder who the first person to pick that thing off the tree and decide they wanted to eat it was, right? You look at a pineapple and say, well, who looked at that thing and said, well, there's some good-looking food right there. But, I mean, you hack into that and open it up, and it's wonderful what you have inside. It just takes a little bit of investigation. Well, God said that fruit is for yours, for you to eat. So is it any wonder, then, that when God wants us to reproduce as believers in Jesus Christ, when He fills us with His Holy Spirit and asks us to reproduce the gospel in the lives of others, When God has this desire for us to be transformed and to change, when God wants to show off to the world what His Holy Spirit can do in the life of a believer in tangible ways, that tangible proof in the Word of God, at least in Galatians chapter 5, is called fruit. Spiritual fruit. That is the product of the Spirit living in a human being. So let's read about that. Galatians chapter 5. I'm going to start with verse 16 so we can get a running start. Galatians chapter 5, starting with verse 16, and follow along as I read. So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other so that you do not do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambitions, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. And since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. Heavenly Father, we pray that as we look at your word this morning and talk about this issue of fruit, the fruit that you plant in our lives, the fruit that you expect to be developed in our lives, help us, Lord, to understand and to be challenged. For we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So throughout the spring and maybe leaking into the summer a little bit, we're going to be looking at fruit. And we're going to be looking at the spiritual fruit and picking it one piece at a time and inspecting it and tasting it and seeing what it's all about. And then also deciding, well, how can this fruit be evident in my life? If I'm a believer in Jesus Christ, I should be a fruitful believer in Jesus Christ. How can I be a person who is demonstrating this spiritual fruit to others? So this morning what we have is just an introduction to this for us to understand what this fruit is all about. First thing we notice is that it is called the fruit of the Spirit. It's called the fruit of the Spirit for a reason. It's not called the fruit of the earth. It's not called the fruit of man. It's not called the fruit of the believer. It's not called the fruit of the loom. Spiritual fruit is the product of a Spirit-filled life. That's why it's called spiritual fruit. It has something to do with the Spirit. The Spirit is a part of that fruit. Can't produce any fruit without the Spirit. In fact, the fruit grows, if you know about regular fruit, it grows from plants that are alive and that are thriving. And there's sap flowing through them. And there are nutrients that are being received from the earth. And there's sunshine. And there's rain and water from the rains. And it's all being soaked up through the root system of that plant. And then delivering life to the plant. And eventually the soil warms up. The plant warms up. The plant comes alive. The sap begins to flow. And there's this chemical change that takes place. And suddenly, as we see all around us, there are blossoms that are springing forth on these plants. And then eventually from that blossom comes the fruit of that plant. And if there is no life in the tree, there is no fruit that comes from the tree. If there is no spiritual life in the person, there is not going to be any spiritual fruit that comes from that person. Now, you may disagree with that and say, well, I've seen love and patience and kindness and self-control and gentleness. I've seen some of that in people who don't know Jesus as their Savior. And, you know, I have to agree with you. I have seen some people who don't know the Lord Jesus Christ who are patient. They're caring and gentle people. They have self-control. Say, well, how's that possible if they don't have the Spirit, that they demonstrate fruit of the Spirit? The truth of the matter is that we've all been created in the image of God, right? We all have the image of God. Now it's broken in us, but we all have the capacity to be able to mirror some of that image of God because we were created in His image. However, it's not truly spiritual fruit unless the Spirit produces that fruit. Now you can fake it for a little while. And you can say, I'm going to be loving and I'm going to show self-control. But if it's not coming from the spiritual life within, then it's something that we've manufactured on our own. It's man-made fruit, not spiritual fruit. And one of the ways that you can really see this is in a person who didn't have love for others, who now, through the process of spiritual growth, suddenly is demonstrating love all over the place. or a woman who has no patience whatsoever, who starts growing in the Lord and reading the Word and getting involved in Bible study, and all of a sudden she starts demonstrating patience. That tells me that there is a change that's taken place in that life. That is the fruit of the Spirit. So I think sometimes we as Christians have it backwards. I could stand up here as a preacher and tell you, you need to be loving, you need to be gentle, you need to be kind, and I could yell at you about that all day long. But the truth of the matter is that it doesn't begin on the outside. Fruit doesn't begin on the outside. You can't stare at a tree and say, make an apple, make an apple. It doesn't happen that way. There's more involved in it. In fact, we might say that spiritual fruit is the result of an intentional process that takes place. There's an intentional process. I think we're spoiled by the produce section of the grocery store because there are fruit of many varieties there all year round. If they can't get it here, they'll get it from somewhere else. Doesn't necessarily mean it's going to taste as good as the stuff that's fresh, but they have it. It's amazing. They can get this stuff all year round. And they can even grow it without soil these days thanks to the all of the experimental growth and the hydroponics and things like that I don't even understand. And they're able to grow tomatoes in hothouses and in the middle of winter. And so this fruit has changed in some way since the good old days. See, now in the good old days, you only got fruit in its season. You only got fruit in its season. And as long as you could keep it fresh in a can or frozen or some other way, then you could enjoy it outside of season. But it only came around, once a year. And you looked forward to that time of the year when that fruit was there and you knew it was going to be gone soon and that was it. And some of us still live that way. Like I said about the strawberries, they're coming in a couple weeks and they're not going to be here for very long. You're going to enjoy those fresh strawberries. And you can freeze them, you can pickle them, you can can them, whatever you do with strawberries, but they're not going to be as good later on, as they are when they come fresh off the vine. Well, in Bible times, fruit was not as accessible at all. And I think, you didn't say, I think I'll just go down to Food Lion and pick up a bunch of grapes. You couldn't do that any time of the year. We can do that, but they couldn't do that. In fact, if they said, if I want a grape, it's going to take several seasons of planting and pruning and training and fertilizing and trimming and cutting it back and inspecting it and keeping the bugs off it or whatever else might attack it. It can take several seasons of that, and maybe 2 to 4 years later you might see grapes. So it wasn't about let's go down and get some grapes. It was about, we need to work intentionally on the process of creating these grapes, and maybe someday down the road we're going to enjoy the fruit of all of that labor. You see how intensive that was. Apple trees can take as long as 5 years to bear their first fruit. You put that tree in the ground and say, we're going to have apples. Hold on, buddy, it's going to be a while. You need to wait and learn the spiritual fruit of patience, because 5 years down the road you might get an apple. And it might taste good, and it might not have worm in it. And so it is with the fruit of the Spirit, too. I hope we understand that. Spiritual fruit is not sold in the produce section. You can't get spiritual fruit from Chile or Peru or from Southern California all year round. Spiritual fruit is not something that you say, I'm going to produce right now. I want to exhibit self-control, have self-control, and pop, there it is, self-control. It's something that is produced through an intentional process, the spiritual fruit. Time, effort, and growth. Time, effort, and growth. So you don't read a passage like this and say, well, the fruit of the Spirit is love. And automatically you just start to love. It'd be great if it worked that way. But actually the way it works is the fruit of the Spirit is love. Well, I need to work on my spiritual life so that love will be demonstrated through me, so that love will be a characteristic of my life and of my heart. I need to allow God to have His way in me, and I need to be reading His Word, and I need to be looking in the world around me at others who are loving, and I need to get in relationships with people who are loving and other believers who are loving, and I need to get intentionally immerse myself in an environment where the Spirit can work in my life and where love can be produced. And it might take some time and some effort and some growth, but that is spiritual fruit. The Spirit does His work in you and you are transformed. And that's when the fruit begins. The truth of the matter is, though, your life is producing something. This passage of Scripture tells us that. There are some things that life can produce, according to what we read in verse 19, the acts of the sinful nature. And I don't have to go through that list again. You can go back to that list on your own and read through it and say, well, are any of these things evident in my life? Truth of the matter is, if you're like me, you're going to say, yeah, it's ugly, but there is some of that. Some of that rotten fruit. Not the fruit of the Spirit, but the fruit of the sinful nature that is residing within me and has been seen in my life. It's there. It's natural. It comes from me. The process of spiritual growth is allowing the Holy Spirit to grab control of my life and for Him to take that rotten fruit, drop it off, and start creating the good spiritual fruit that we read about here in Galatians 5:22 and 23. You are producing something. People are not dormant. We live and our lives produce something. For example, you work, and every day you have this thing that you call your job or your vocation or your calling or whatever you might call it. And you go to that job every day, and there's something that's produced there. For some of you, there are landscapes that are designed and finely manicured as a result of your going out every day to work. For some of you, there are business owners who are pleased with their temporary staffing, right? There are some who are involved in that type of work. There are others who are replacing bald tires and taking broken cars and fixing them so they're back on the road again. There are some who are insuring vehicles and insuring homes, or others who are making sure that the buyers and the sellers of the homes are both happy at the same time. And then there are pastors. What do they do? You know, I love it when Daniel got up here and said, yeah, these guys work, see? Because I'm thinking, well, what do you do, man? You know, I went on this mission trip with these three guys who work. Daniel works. I watched him work. It's a different kind of work, though. It's hard to measure, you know? You look at the dashboard in your car, and you can see how much fuel you have left and how much oil pressure there is and how fast you're going, all that sort of thing. And maybe you work in the kind of job that is like that. You know, maybe you paint walls for a living. That would be awesome because you could say, I finished that wall today. You could see the progress. There it is on your dashboard. I've made this progress. But there are some jobs that aren't that easy. Pastor is one of them. You know, there are a lot of different gauges we could put on the pastoral dashboard. We could say, well, the number of baptisms, that is success. The number of people who are attending church, that is success for a pastor. We could say, well, the number of dollars that are being put into the offering plate, that is success for a pastor. We call it nickels and noses or butts and bucks, you know. How many people and how many dollars? That's how it goes. That's what we say. Now, I've come to learn that I don't necessarily agree with that. Because the true measure of whether a church is being successful is the Holy Spirit having His way in you, in your life? Are you becoming more and more like Jesus Christ? That's why we've chosen growing Christ-like people as our product, as a church. That's what we want to see in your lives, is Christ-likeness, spiritual growth, spiritual fruit coming from your life. So actually, one of the measurements of whether a church is successful, whether the Spirit's being successful in your life, whether you're successfully allowing the Spirit to work in your life, whether your pastor is successfully preaching the Word of God to you in a way that you can grow, one of the ways is there spiritual fruit in your life? You know, will others see you and say, wow, there's transformation in their life. I see a change. I see a person who wasn't loving who's now loving. I see someone who's not been known for gentleness in the past who's all of a sudden being gentle. I see someone who's not been kind to me who all of a sudden demonstrates kindness. The fruit of the Spirit is evident in your life. Your life is producing something. So now you understand what it means to produce at work. All of you produce something where you work. But do you know, besides the fruit of your labors, the money that you're making, the change that's taking place as a result of what you do in your work, there's something else that's happening too. There's other things that are being produced through you being at your work or at school or wherever it is that you go each day. And that is that people are coming in contact with you and they are recognizing if this fruit is working in your life. So let me tell you, a Christian that says, I go to church and I believe in Jesus and I trust in Him, that does not produce this fruit is is not really all that successful as a Christian, are they? To put it mildly, does the Spirit have His way in a person who shows no spiritual fruit? Spiritual fruit is observable. It's enjoyable. It's a characteristic of a Spirit-filled person. And we're going to take the opportunity to look at this fruit one piece at a time in some of our coming weeks. But here's some fruit for thought. Don't attempt spiritual fruit apart from the Holy Spirit. Don't attempt spiritual fruit apart from the Holy Spirit. The place to start is with the Holy Spirit. Now, there are some things we need to understand about the Holy Spirit in order to get this right, but imagine walking up to a rooster and saying, I want an egg. I want to be frying an omelet by tomorrow morning. You are going to produce an egg. That rooster, you know, can't do it. The rooster doesn't have the parts to be able to make that egg for you. So it's going to be fruitless to ask a rooster to make an egg. In the same way, it would be fruitless for me to stand up here and tell you about the fruit of the Spirit and ask you to produce it unless I started with the Holy Spirit. You need to have that part first before the rest of the fruit can ever be grown in your life. It's not going to happen apart from the Spirit. No Spirit, no spiritual fruit. So here are some basics. First of all, who is the Spirit? Who the Spirit is? Well, the Spirit is God. That's who the Spirit is. The third person of the Trinity. You have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is God Himself who is living in the life of everyone who has trusted in Jesus Christ as Savior. If you've put your faith in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit lives inside of your life. He's there. He's there. And the Holy Spirit doesn't sit still. The Holy Spirit wants to do something in your life. What the Spirit does is the Spirit transforms. The Spirit wants to change you radically from the sinful nature that we've read about here to the spiritual fruit. From doing things your own way to doing things His way. From being a human person to being a godly person. To be more and more like Jesus Christ. This is the work that the Spirit who lives inside of you is trying to do. Now, where does the Spirit live? The Spirit lives in believers. You must believe in Jesus Christ. Don't say, I'm going to be loving and kind and gentle and have self-control and all of that patience and all of that fruit. Don't say you're going to do that if you don't already know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and have the Holy Spirit living within you. But if you do know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and have the Holy Spirit living within you, recognize that He's there and He's trying to transform you. And sometimes He yells loud. Sometimes He whispers softly. Sometimes when we come in contact with the Word of God, He uses the Word of God to talk to us. Sometimes when we hear another believer in Jesus Christ sharing with us about their life, the God speaking through them, the Holy Spirit within us is saying, come on now, here's your chance. Change, transform. God wants us to produce that fruit. So the Holy Spirit is inside you, living and active and desiring to transform you. How does the Spirit work? The Spirit works through believers. Through His Word and through believers, the Spirit's alive and is in the business of spreading the good news. And the way that He wants to spread that good news to the world is through you. He wants to reproduce you as a believer in the lives of others. He wants the fruit that is produced from you to drop into the lives of others, to bear seed and to grow in their lives as well. This is the process that God is doing through His Spirit. So you might ask the question, well, how do I join the Spirit? Answer to that would be yield. Yield to Him. It's one of the words that we find in the Word of God, is we can yield ourselves to Him. Here in the passage of Scripture, in verse 16, Paul says, so I live by the Spirit. Live by the Spirit. Also, later on, if you look down at verse 25, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. It's all about hearing the voice of the Spirit and living by the Spirit, doing what the Spirit says, yielding to the Spirit. We all know what the word yield means because we come to an intersection or to where two cars come in together and we see the sign that says yield. And we know that means that somebody's going to have to stop. And if somebody doesn't stop, there's going to be a collision. It's true in your life as well. If you're living your life for yourself and the Holy Spirit's within you, wanting to live through you, and to demonstrate this fruit, and you're on the same path, someone somewhere is going to have to stop. Now, if you don't stop living this selfish, sinful nature, then guess who's going to stop? The Holy Spirit will be muffled. That fruit can't grow in the life of someone who won't listen or yield to Him. So what can you do today? What can you do today? At the beginning of this series of messages on the fruit of the Spirit, the place to start is on our knees, to confess and to yield ourselves to the Spirit, to say, God, You are alive in me. And I confess that as I look at that list of the Spirit, it doesn't always come from me. The people at work or at school don't necessarily always see love and patience and kindness. The people that I live with, my family, they don't always see gentleness and self-control. So I recognize, Holy Spirit, if you're living in me and that's what you want to produce, I need to let you have your way. It's time for me to stop. It's time for me to get out of the way. It's time for me to eliminate the sinful nature and to allow you, Spirit, to have control. So take surrendering yourself to Him, to allow Him to move and to live and to have control of your life. You can fake fruit. You can fake the fruit of the Spirit. But have you ever tried fake fruit before? It is really yucky. I mean, it's horrible. It's terrible. Have you ever taken a wax apple off the table and tried to bite into it? You could break your teeth doing something like that. Even worse than that, however, is an ornamental tree. You know what I'm talking about? For example, an ornamental cherry tree. All right, you see, in the springtime, it has these beautiful blossoms. And you look at it and you go, wow, look at how gorgeous that tree is. The fruit of that tree is going to be wonderful. Once it comes, it's going to be delicious. I can't wait for that fruit. And then eventually the blossoms fall off, and what happens on that ornamental cherry tree? There's no fruit. But what's the point, right? What's the point? Now some of you say, I know what the point is. I want the flowers. I don't want the fruit. I don't want to have to be raking up all these pits and stuff, okay? I just want the flowers. So if that's all you want is flowers, well, good for you. You can have your ornamental cherry tree. But if you want fruit, don't buy an ornamental tree. I wonder if God looks at us from time to time and says, look at that bunch of ornamental Christians. They do all the right things. They're blossoming, you know? They come to church, they have their Bible, they go to Bible study, they go to Sunday school. They're ornamental. They're Christians. They're worshiping me in church. They're singing praises to my name. But I desire fruit. I desire fruit. I pray that we desire fruit the way that God desires fruit, and His Spirit can have His work in us. It begins in your heart by saying, I'm going to step out of the way and yield to the Spirit and let Him have control. And then things like love and gentleness and kindness and self-control can take root in our life, and we can produce fruit. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You for Your word to us this morning. We pray, Lord, that You'd give us the strength today to make a decision. Father, that we don't want to be fruitless Christians. We don't want to be ornamental Christians. Father, but we want to demonstrate spiritual fruit. Father, we want others in our lives, those who we work with, those who we go to school with, those who we rub shoulders with every day, to recognize that You are living in us. And they will recognize it if there is spiritual fruit. So, Lord, we confess to You today that much of the time we live for ourselves. Father, that much of the fruit of our lives is selfish fruit. Father, I pray that You'd give us the strength to confess that this morning and to yield to Your Spirit. May Your Holy Spirit live within us and flow. May He fill us as we keep in step with Him and walk with the Spirit. Lord, may Your Spirit, like sap, flow through our lives and develop this beautiful fruit that is full of taste, enjoyment, that others will notice and they'll fall in love with You because of that fruit. And Father, that will fall from our lives into the lives of others and grow in their lives as well. Father, help us to be Christians who demonstrate spiritual fruit. And may it begin with Your Spirit having His way in our lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. this morning, if you've heard this message, has meant something to you, I want you to make a decision today that you're going to allow the Spirit to live within you. You're going to listen for the Spirit's voice, and you're going to do whatever it takes to walk by the Spirit, to keep in step with the Spirit. And this morning, if the Lord's spoken to you in such a way that you feel you need to come and to speak to Him here, we invite you as we sing this final hymn to come and talk to Him here at the altar at the front of the church. If the Lord has spoken to you in such a way that you just need to go home and think more about this, please do that. Take some time this week to think about how the Spirit is working and living and moving in your life. If you need to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior so that you can have God's Spirit living in you, I'd love to talk to you about that as well. If you'd like to be baptized or to join here at Quaker Gap, we welcome you this morning. Let's stand together as we sing this final hymn, number 277, Take My Life and Let It Be, number 277.